Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Avraham Shor. Maseches Megillah has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Yossi Taub, Lizchus Refuah Shleima, Moshe Nachman ben Malka Miriam.
Megillah Daf Yud Aleph. One of the introductions mentioned by the Amiroim in our sugya is Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar pasach la pischa la hapash samihacha. Rabbi Lazar's opening to the Megillah was from the following pasuk. It's a pasuk in Koheles, Ba'atzaltayim yimach ha-mekoret. If a person is lazy and doesn't fix his roof when he's supposed to, then in the end, yimach ha-mekoret, the entire ceiling will cave in. Ubeshiflus yodayim yidleif ha-boyis. And through lowering of the hands, meaning laziness and not doing what needs to be done, yidleif ha-boyis, which means that the house will begin to leak. The rainwater will come into the house. Darshins the Gemara b'shvil atzlus shalhoi lehem liYisrael shloi osku b'toira. Because of the laziness that Klal Yisrael had, they were not oisik in Torah, nase soinu shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu mach. Meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was kaviyachol not capable of saving Klal Yisrael, mach is a lashon of oni. Like the Gemara darshins, shenemar v'imach hu meir kecha, and mikara means HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not capable kaviyachol of helping them because they were nischaivu kloya. They were destined for destruction. Now, where does Rabbi Lezer find a remez to Megillas Esther from this pasuk? Theoretically, it's possible to use this type of drasha to explain virtually any tzara that Klal Yisrael finds themselves in, because our avinus caused that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in a position where kaviyachli cannot save us. So perhaps we can take a hint from the unusual usage of the term mach. Usually we refer to a poor person as a dal, an ani. Why over here do we use this terminology? So there is a very interesting hesber that Reb Shimshon Astropolia says to be masber the Medrash Pliya about what happened during the time of Megillas Esther. It says over there that Esther asked, Mipnei man ischaivu senem shel Yisrael kloya, why was it that Klal Yisrael were subject to such a drastic zera to be totally annihilated? Veheshiva lo min ha-shamayim, they answered her, from Shemayim, Mipnei shenasu Yisrael mach v'rosh, because Klal Yisrael became mach and rosh. Mach is like our Gemara uses the term yimach ha-mekore, which could either mean being lowered, or like the Gemara darshins, mach is a way of referring to an ani, and rosh, of course, also means a poor person. Miyad pascha v'amra keli keli lama azavtoni. Immediately, Esther said the kapitel tilim, which we know the Gemara later on attributes to Esther, keli keli lama azavtoni. So what in the world is this Medrash talking about? Explains Reb Shimshon Astropolier that we know that in every malach there are certain oisius in his name that come from the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which are mechaya that malach. And in the event that those oisius are removed from the name of that malach, he loses his chiyus. Now the one malach who's always melitz toiv for Klal Yisrael is Michael. Take a look at the Gemara in Menachos Daf Kuf Yud and Tosis over there with Ibrahim Askel Michael. Now Michael has within his name three oisius that come directly from the Shem Hashem. The Kael, Aleph Lamed, is from Hashem's name, and there's also the Yud, which comes from the Shem Havaya. If Klal Yisrael behaves in a way that causes these oisius of Hashem's name not to be meir, not to shine through, so now Michael does not have the chiyus that he usually gets from the maisim of Klal Yisrael, then he remains without those oisius Aleph Lamed Yud, and he remains only with the oisius Mem Chof, which is oisius Mach. Similarly, the name Yisrael itself has within it the name Aleph Lamed Yud as well. And when Klal Yisrael do not behave in the way that allows for the Shem Hashem to be apparent through their actions, they're also left without the Shem Hashem. And what's left after taking away Aleph Lamed Yud from the name Yisrael is the Oisius Rosh, Reish Shin, which means, like we said, a poor person. So explains Reb Shimshon Astropolier that when Esther asked why were they nischaivu kloya, and the response was because Sinem Shal Yisrael became mach v'rosh, what they were telling her was that Klal Yisrael had behaved in a way that the Aleph Lamed Yud was removed both from the name Yisrael and from the Malach Michael, which is why her response was Keili Keili Lama Azavtani. Says the Sefer Beis Yitzchak, that's how we can understand our Gemara as well. Yimach ha-mekore. The Mekore is the protection of Klal Yisrael. Michael is the one who is Melitz Yosher on Klal Yisrael. He's like a ceiling, a Mekarah, who provides us with all the shelter that we need from the Mekatrigim. And Yimach HaMekarah, the Mekarah became Mach, because our actions caused that the Shem Hashem be removed from the Malach Michael. Now, from our Gemara, it's clear that the main thing that caused this Gzeira was because of Atzal Taim, because of Atzlus Medivrei Torah. Why is it that Atzlus Medivrei Torah is what caused the Gzeira of Haman? Now, truth be told, this is not the first time that Atzlus Medivrei Torah caused the reaction of Amalek. Chazal tell us on the Pasuk in Bishalach, Vayovei Amalek, Vayilochem, Im Yisrael Berfidim, the Lashon Refidim, even though it's referring to a place where Amalek came to be Lochem against Klal Yisrael, nevertheless, it's a reference to the idea of Rafu Yudeim Min HaTorah, which denotes not only a lack of his askus in Torah, rather a rifyin yadayim. Rifyin yadayim means a laziness. So why is it that Amalek is always the response to rafu yadayim in HaTorah, both over here and in Parshas Bishalach? So before we answer this question, we have to ask another question. And that is that although it says that Amalek came because there were rafu yadayim in HaTorah, there is a mashmos in the psukim that there was a totally different reason, because the pasuk says, "V'nasoisim es Hashem lemer hayesh Hashem bekirbenu im oyin," and right afterwards it says, "Vayavei Amalek." Rashi says over there, "Samach parsha zu lemikra zel loymar tamed ani beinechem umuzum lechol tzarchechem v'atem oimrim hayesh Hashem bekirbenu im oyin." I'm constantly amongst you. I'm constantly taking care of your needs, and you have the chutzpah to ask, "Hayesh Hashem bekirbenu im oyin." That's when Amalek comes. And this, of course, works well with what we discussed extensively in Daf Yoreh Mabeis, that Amalek is a response to Klal Yisrael not existing within the world of Hashkacha Pratis, the world of Mikra, of Siba, Mesoiviv, of cause and effect. So the moment Klal Yisrael takes themselves out of the higher Hanhaga, where Hashem runs things directly, then Amalek comes. So that we understand. But then what does that have to do with Rafu Yideihem Min HaTorah? Which one is it? Is it because Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu Im Ayin? Or is it because Rafu Yideihem Min HaTorah? And the answer to this question will open us up to a whole new dimension of understanding what exactly we mean when we say Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu, and what we mean when we say Rafu Yideihem Min HaTorah. Because in truth, both Ayesha Hashem Bekirbeinu Im Oyin and being Rafu Yudeim and HaTorah are rooted in the same Shoyrish. Because, although it is true that part of the definition of the Taina of Ayesha Hashem Bekirbeinu Im Oyin is, as we explained, a Kfira in Hashkacha Pratis, that's not the entire picture. Because if that would be the Pshat in Ayesha Hashem Bekirbeinu Im Oyin, then there's something lacking in the choice of words. Hayesh Hashem bikirbeinu. Is Hashem inside of us? It doesn't say, does Hashem go walk amongst us? Rather, bikirbeinu, inside of us. The Lashon Hayesh Hashem bikirbeinu denotes that Klal Yisrael, aside from questioning Hashkacha Pratis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they were also questioning whether there is a lakus inside every member of Klal Yisrael. Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu was a kfira in the chelek elakami mal that each member of Klal Yisrael has. Is there elakus inside of us or not? Now, what is the biggest raya that a member of Klal Yisrael has elakus inside of him? How can we prove that a yid has the shechina inside of himself? There is one area in Yiddishkeit that can prove this more than anything else. And that is as follows. The Ramban writes in his Akdama to Torah that all of Torah is really Shmoisov Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What he means is that a shame is the Giloy of the Mahus. The name reflects the essence of that thing. And therefore, all of Torah is just reflections of Mitziusa Yisbarach, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself through the Torah. Now that is Torah Shebiksav. However, we know that aside from Torah Shebiksav, we are given the opportunity to be mechadish and add to Torah Shebaal Peh. How is that possible? If we are empowered to add to Torah and Torah is defined as an expression of Hashem's Metzius, then it must mean that deep inside ourselves, we contain Hashem's very essence. And one need not look any further than the bracha that we say after reading the Torah. Asher nasan lanu Torah's emes, v'chaye oylam nata b'seichenu. Asher nasan lanu Torah's emes refers to Torah Shebiksav. V'chaye oylam nata b'seichenu is Torah Shebal Peh. As the Beis Halevi says, the Torah Shebiksav is written on klaf, on parchment, with dioi, ink, and it has its tenoim, and the Torah Shebal Peh is written on the Nishmas Yisrael. So Hayesh Hashem v'kirbeinu im oyin means not only that they were questioning Hashgacha, it means that they were questioning Hashgacha. But let's not forget, a person is an oylam katan. And just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu resides within the world, He also resides within ourselves. Chazal say on the pasuk, Va'asili mikdash v'shachanti b'soy chom, it doesn't say, Va'asili mikdash v'shachanti b'soy choy, that I'll reside inside the Beis HaMikdash. Rather, it says, Va'asili mikdash v'shachanti b'soy chom, b'soy kol echad ve'echad. So Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu was Klal Yisrael questioning whether there really is a v'chaye oylam nata b'seichenu. Now we always find whenever Chazal want to describe a Talmud Chacham's capability, specifically legabe Torah Shebal Peh, we refer to Yadayim. For example, the Gemara in Sota and other places, when it brings down the story about Yehuda, whose atzamais were megulgolim ba'orein at sha'amad Moshe b'kish aleim rachmim, since Yehuda was mekabel on himself a nidui on behalf of Binyamin, he said v'chatasi l'cha kalayamim to his father, which meant afilu l'olam haba. So he needed Moshe Rabbeinu to be mevakish rachmim on him. And each step of the way, Moshe Rabbeinu was mispal a new tefillah. First, he says Shema Hashem kol Yehuda. When he saw that he was not being let into the mesifta derekia, he says ve'el amoy tevayanu, bring him to his nation, let him go into the base medrash in the olam ha'emes. Then it says v'lo yhava kayada mishkel u'mitrich b'shmaita b'hadi rabbanon. He was able to enter the Masifta Derekia, but he didn't have the capability to converse with the Talmid Chachamim in Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu is mispalol yodav ravloi. And Rashi explains that means yeheloi nitzachin l'riv rivoi. V'haydech siv yodav loshen melchamuhu melchamta shal Torah. The Adayim refers to the part of the person that is poil in Olam Hazeh. And there's a chelik of the person's neshama, which is also called his yadayim. And when the Talmud Chacham is successful in discussing a sugya that relates to Olam Hazeh, it's called yadav rav loy. So this is one example in which we find that the yadayim are the part of the body that is singled out when discussing the person's relationship to Torah Shebal Peh. Because Torah Shebal Peh is our chelik, is the part that mortals have from Torah, and we're the ones who are poil in this world with our Yadayim. So Yadayim refers to that chelik in Torah. So we now understand that Rafu Yudehem min ha-Torah and Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu im oyin is really one and the same. Amalek comes when we question the elikus that is inside ourselves, which is the translation of the words Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu im oyin, and the way that one does that the most is by being Rafu Yudehem min ha-Torah. And it comes as no surprise that the time of Purim becomes the day of Kabbalas HaTorah Sheba'al Peh. How do we know that the day of Purim is the day of Kabbalas HaTorah Sheba'al Peh? Because we all know the Gemara in Shabbos, the Pechesimet Aleph, the Gemara says, Vayisyatzvu v'sachti sahar, Klal Yisrael by Matan Torah, stood underneath the mountain. Amrav Avdimi barchama barchasa melami chekofa HaKadosh Baruch Hu aleihem es sahar kigigis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned the mountain over them, on top of them, like a gigis. A gigis is a receptacle, a large receptacle in which you put beer. And he said to them, Im atem mekablim haTorah mutiv. If you accept the Torah, fine. V'im lav, sham tehei kvuraschem. Your burial is going to be right here. So you see that Klal Yisrael were forced to be mekabel the Torah. The Gemara then continues and says, Mikan moido rabba la'iraisa. This is a very good answer for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. La'asid lavoi, when he asks somebody, how come you weren't mekayim the Torah? He can answer, I was forced. However, says the Gemara, afal pikein hadar kiblua bimei achashverish. Klal Yisrael later were mekabelit meirotzen at the time of achashverish. Dechsiv kimu v'kiblu ha-yehudim. Kimu mashekiblu kvar. The Tosfos over there asks the obvious question, which is that we know that Klal Yisrael already said Nasa v'nishma. It sounds like they were mekabel Torah meirotzen. And the Gemara seems to imply that they were forced into it. The Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Noach asks this question, and answers very simply. Nase v'nishma was something that related to Torah Shebiksav. But Torah Shebal Peh, Klal Yisrael needed to be forced into, because Torah Shebal Peh is much more difficult. It requires yigia, it requires meimisatz me'aleh, and sleepless nights. So without being forced into it, they wouldn't have been mekabalit. Nevertheless, they were later on mekabalit b'me'ach HaShverish. So you see from the Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Noach, that Purim is actually the day of Kabbalas HaTorah, Meirotzin, of Torah Shebal Peh. And this makes a lot of sense in light of our discussion. Because Amalek only comes to begin with when we question our relationship to Torah Shebal Peh. Hayesh Hashem b'kirbenu em oyin rafu yedeh min ha-Torah. So the Nitzachin against Amalek resulted in a Kabbalas HaTorah anew of Torah Shebal Peh. This fact actually plays itself out lahalacha as well. Because we all know that when Tesvav, the day of Shushan Purim, falls out to be on Shabbos, so we make what's called the Purim Mishulash. The reason why it's called Purim Mishulash is because you celebrate different parts of Purim on each of the 3 days, on Friday, Shabbos, and Sunday. Now Friday, which is Yud Dalet, is when you lay in the Megillah. That's of course when you do Matanas Levyonim as well. Because Matanas Levyonim always goes together with Mikra Megillah, as the Gemara says, Einei Aniyim are Nesuais to Mikra Megillah. On Shabbos, we lay in Vayavai Amalek and you say Al Anisim, but the Suda takes place on Sunday, and that's also when you are Mekayim Mishlech Manas. Now, the Ran brings down a Yerushalmi to explain why it is that we don't make the Suda's Purim on Shabbos. After all, any Yom Tif that falls out on Shabbos, you make the Suda's Yom Tif on Shabbos as well. So the Yerushalmi says, V'yaso oysom b'Shabbos, amarlei lasois Oysam yemei mishta v'simcha ksiv. It says lasis oysam yemei mishta v'simcha es she simchasai teluya bebezdin. We need that the simcha should be totally on bezdin. Yotzeze she simchasai teluya bidei shamayim. The simcha of Shabbos is teluya bidei shamayim. The simcha of Shabbos eina mitakonas Mordechai she simchasai bidei shamayim hi. Now, why do we care that its simcha is bidei shamayim as opposed to bidei adam? The answer is because the whole celebration of Purim is a celebration of Torah Shebal Peh, which is us, which is about human creativity, about Bezdin being able to implement dinim and being misakin takonis. It's mitakonis Mordechai, and it's the chelik that shayach to Klal Yisrael, not something that comes mila eila from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, it's this special getlichkeit, this special godliness that the Jew has that gives Amalek no rest whatsoever. Amalek cannot live with the fact that Klal Yisrael has Torah Shebal Peh or that Klal Yisrael has any level of Kedusha. And this is why we find that Amalek has a special hisnagdus, a special opposition to the inyan of Mila. It says in the parsha that we read, Parsha Zochar, Vayizanev b'cho kol anechsholom acherecha, Vayizanev is loshen zonov, because Amalek took milois sehen v'zorken klape mala, he took the milois of Klal Yisrael and threw them upward and said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tul masha b'charta, take back the people that you were boicher. We don't need your emissaries on this world. Because since Amalek is interested in this world running with the system that we described on Daf Yudam Beis of Siba Mesoivev, the system that's devoid of Hashkacha Pratis, the system that's called Mikra, the last thing that they would want is the emissaries of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be living in this world and to bring Kedusha in this world and to bring Elokus into this world. Because they don't want this world to be run by Elokus Kaviyochel. And this is the oimik of the pasuk that it says in the end of Parshas Bishalach, in the Parsha of Ayavei Amalek, that describes the way the world looks, calls man, that Amalek is still around. Because the pasuk says, Vayomer ki yod al keis ka, milchama l'Hashem ba'amalek midor dor. Rashi says, ki yod al keis ka. Hashem is lifting up his hand to swear by his chair. But why does it say case and not kisei? Rashi says, Mau case floy nemar kisei. Va'af Hashem nechlek l'chetzio. It doesn't say ki yod al case yud kei vav kei. It says al case ka. Says Rashi, Nishba HaKadosh Baruch Hu, She'ein shmoy sholem, ve'ein kisoy sholem, ad she'yimoche shmoy shel Amalek kuloi. The Aleph is missing from the word Kisei, and the Vav Kei is missing from the word Yud Kei Vav Kei, because Hashem's Kisei is not complete, and his name, Kaviyochel, is not complete until you get rid of Amalek. What does this mean? Exactly what we were describing before, because the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Giloi of his Metzias. And Kol Zman, Amalek, are in the world, they do not allow for Klal Yisrael to activate the second half of the Shem Havaya. The Shem Havaya has two parts. Yud Kei always symbolizes the higher part of the Shem Havaya. The Vav is the Ois HaChibur, which is Mechaber, the higher part of the Shem Havaya to the lower part, which symbolizes the connection of the higher parts of the Bria to this lowly world. Whenever we say the words L'shem Yichud Kudsha Berichu Ushchinte, the Zohar Kodesh says that Knesset Yisrael is called the Shechina. Knesset Yisrael is Klal Yisrael, who are put on this world to bring Giloy Malchusei Yisbarach into the world. And as such, they are the second half of the Shem Havaya. That is what we mean when we say L'yachda Shem Yudke Bevovke. The Yichud, the bringing together of the two parts of the Shem Havaya, means that there are no two worlds, the higher world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzin and the lower world where things run on their own. Because ultimately we know that Hashem Hu Hu Elokim. Elokim, which is B'gematria HaTeva, the world which looks like it runs on its own. And Havaya is all one and the same. La'asid Lavai, everything is going to be clear. We're going to see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs everything. And the Elokus within Klal Yisrael is going to be apparent. The Vilna Gaon says that that's what it means when the Pasuk says, Ki Vachra Hashem B'tzion, Iva L'moishav Loi. When Hashem will be Boicher B'tzion, when we're going to have the Binyan HaBayis, Iva is the Aleph from the Kisei, which is not Shalem, and the Vav Kei is the second part of the word Iva L'moishav Loi. The Vav Kei from the Meshem Havaya and the Aleph from the Kisei are going to be settled. They're going to be in the proper place. Amalek is Begematria Suffolk. Amalek brings us to question everything. A question Alakusi is Barach, question Hashgacha, and question our own value. This is also one reason that we can give to explain why it is that one of the antidotes to protect us from the Gzeres Haman, the Gemara says later, was Machzis HaShekel. It says that Haman tried to give Naseres HaLofim Kikar Kesef Eshkola Yidei Oisei Amlacha. He paid off Achashverosh to annihilate the Jewish people, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, my children already gave shkolim. Now why is it that Machzis HaShekel is the thing that protects us against the Gzeira of Haman? The answer is because the idea of the Machzis HaShekel symbolizes the fact that we are the second half of the Shem Havaya. Machzis is a half. We are in a partnership with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this Bria. And since this is Gufa, what Haman was coming to fight, our Machzis HaShekel acted as the protection from his Gzeira. We see this in the Yoitzer L'Parsha Shkolim, because the Paitan says, Shmoy Meshutof Ba'am Lo Yamusim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's shame is Meshutof within Klal Yisrael. He is our partner, and we carry the second half of his name. That's what we're doing in this Bria. You'll notice an interesting thing. Purim and Pesach come right next to each other. And like Rashi says, Mishnichas Adar Marben B'Simcha, Rashi explains that we're Marben B'Simcha because of Purim and Pesach. And there's really one long season that begins, what ushers in the season, is Parsha Shkolim. Be'echad Be'adar Mashmiel Nal Shkolim, we read Parsha Shkolim in the beginning of the season. And the climax of the season comes at the end of Pesach when we read about Kriyas Yamsuf. The Medrash tells us that the Yamsuf split bizchus the Beka Lagulgoilis. The Lashon that's used when it talks about the Yam splitting is Vayivoku Hamoyim. The Mayim split. Beka means the half shekel. And as the Balaturim says, Vayelech Hashem Beruach Kadim Aza Kol Alayla. When it talks about the wind that blew the entire night that brought about Kriyas Yamsuf, Beruach Kadim Aza is Rosh Teves Beka. So not only does the season get ushered in with the Shkolim and ends with Kriyas Yamsuf, it seems that Kriyas Yamsuf has its roots as well in the Bekel Gilgalis, in Machzis HaShekel. Why is that? The answer can be found in the Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Lech Lecha when talking about Kriyas Yamsuf. But first, let's ask a question. We all know that all of the stages of the Shibud Mitzrayim and the Geula of Mitzrayim were foreshadowed in the Bris Bein Absarim. As Rashi tells us there, when it says, Ki ger ye zaracha be'eretz lo lohem va'avodim v'inu oisam arba me'a shana v'gamas ha'goya she'avodu dona noichi, each step HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Avram Avinu about certain parts of the Shibud Mitzrayim, and the dona noichi refers to the Eser Makis v'acher chen yetzu b'chush gadol. Everything is spoken out during the Bris Bein Absarim. The one thing that seems to be absent from the Bris Bein Absarim is Kriyas Yamsuf. And since we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is meramis to Avram Avinu, you know, everything that was going to happen during that period, where is it that we find the remez to Kriyas Yamsuf in the Bris Bein Absarim? The answer, and this is alluded to in the Medrash Rabbah over there in Parshas Lech Lecha, is that the Bris Bein Absarim itself was, as Rashi explains over there, the derech of kursei bris. When people go into a partnership with each other, what they used to do is take something and cut it in half and walk in between the two halves, which was a way to symbolize that you and I are partners with each other. We're two halves of the same whole. And the pasuk says over there, v'hinei tanur oshon v'lapid eish asher avar bein ha-gizorim ho'ela, which according to some of the mefarshim means that the Shechina was passing through bein ha-gizorim ho'ela, and that's where the very next pasuk is, v'yemahu karas Hashem es Avram bris leimor l'zarechon esatia sa'aretz hazois, etc. Because this was the krisas bris, the creation of that partnership. And it wasn't until Kriyas Yamsuf, when Klal Yisrael did the same exact thing, they passed bein ha-gizorim ho'ela, Amaver Bonav Ben Gizer Yamsuf, Legozer Yamsuf Legzorim, the same word that is used by the Brisbane Absorim to describe the pieces that were cut in half to symbolize the partnership between Hashem and Avram, is used to describe the two parts of the Yam that split so that Klal Yisrael could walk through. And that is what the Medrash says, that the walking between the Gizrei Yamsuf is the reenactment of the Brisbane Absorim itself. That's why it doesn't come as a surprise that Chazal tell us that Legoizer Yamsuf Legzorim Al Tikri Legzorim El Legoizrim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu split the Yamsuf for those people that were Mal themselves. Goizrim means those that were Goizer, that they cut themselves, meaning that they perform mitzvahs Mila. Because like we said, Mila is the same partnership between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It shows the Kedusha of each individual of Klal Yisrael, and therefore we were worthy to go and be Kairis Bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and be the reenactment of the Bris Ben Absarim itself. So now it's very easy to understand the connection between the Machzis HaShekel, why it says that Beruach Kodim Aza is Rosh Tevis Beka, why it is that Vayivoku Hamoyim B'schus the Machzis HaShekel, because the Machzis HaShekel is the same exact concept. It's the fact that we are the partners. We're the second half of the Shem Havaya. We are those that are worthy of being Kairis Bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the reason that during Kriyas Yamsuf we say Zekeli Ve'anvehu, which Chazal tell us Ve'anvehu Ani Vahu. It's me and him. And this is the reason why the Parsha of Kabbalah Satorah, which we already explained that the whole idea of our Kabbalah Satorah is the greatest expression of the partnership that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Parsha of Kabbalah Satorah, which is Yisroi, opens up with Vayishma Yisroi, Ma Shmua Shama Uba, what Shmua did Yisroi hear? Rashi tells us Kriyas Yamsuf Umechemes Amalek. When you know these two things, you know about Kriyas Yamsuf, the ultimate expression of the partnership between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisroi, and Milchemes HaMolek, which is getting rid of the main force that's there to hold back that partnership, then you're ready to approach Kabbalah Satorah. So now we have a whole new appreciation of our Gemara, which says, "Batzaltaim Yimach HaMekore, the Bishvil Atzlis, Shehoyel Hem LiYisrael Shlei Osku, Batorah Nasa Soinah Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moch." Because we explained that when we say that was Nase, Soinah Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moch, what that means is that the Oisius of Hashem's name was removed from us, it was removed from the Malach Michael, and this is all because the Atzlus, Shehoyel Hem LiYisrael Shlei Osku BaTorah. Since the reason why one is Nis'atzel and not Oisik B'Torah is because they're not aware and they're not willing to recognize the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they have inside of them, the fact that they are the second half of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, the Zekeli Va'anvehu, Ani Vahu, V'chaye Oilom, Nota B'Seichenu, Shmoy Mishutav Ba'amloy Amusim, all of this is what brings about that Nasesh Seinuch HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moch. Based on all this background, we can try and understand another obscure Gemara on this daf. Because one of the Pirushim that the Gemara gives in the name Achashverish, the Gemara says, Shmuel Amr Shehushcheru Peneim Shel Yisrael B'Yom of Geshulei Kedera. The faces of Klal Yisrael became black in his days like the bottom of a pot. And one wonders, why does the Gemara use the metaphor of a bottom of a pot? There are many things that are black. So perhaps we could say as follows. The Gemara later tells us that Shaalu Talmidav Esrab Shimon Ben Yochai and Daf Yud Bei Zimur Aleph Mipnei Man Eschayvu Seineim Shal Yisroel Sheba Oisai Hador Kloya. Why were those the people in that generation Mechuyev to be destroyed? Amr Lahem Imratem. He said, you should say. Amru Loi Mipnei Shenehenu Misudasi Shal Oisai Rosha. Because they were nene from the Suda of Achashverosh. Amar Lahem, Sir Shimon Ben Yochai answered, Im kein shebeshushan yehargu, shebecholayim kulayal yehargu. So they should have only killed the ones that were in Shushan. Amrulai emarata. So then you should say the pshat. Amrulahem ipnei sheishtachavu letzelem. Because they bow down to the idol in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. And the obvious question is that Bishlam of the chet of being nenem sudosh shloish rosha, we can understand that that has a shaykhus to that dar. That dar was the one that was nene from the sud of Achashverish, and therefore they deserved a punishment. But bowing down to the idol in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, why didn't Hashem punish them then? Why did he wait until the days of Haman to punish them? Clearly, you see that there was a siba to destroy Klal Yisrael already at the time of Nebuchadnezzar, and there must have been some sort of maniyah, something holding back that punishment from being carried out, and only in the days of Achashverosh did that maniyah go away, and therefore Klal Yisrael were nischayvu kloya. What was it that was holding back their punishment from being carried out in the time of Nebuchadnezzar? Based on everything we see in our Gemara, we could say that kol zman, that they still were not being this atzel b'divrei Torah, the Torah was capable of protecting them from the einish that they were supposed to get due to their bowing down to the tzelem. As the Gemara says in Soita in the third parak, Torah has the ability to be megan umatzel. Even if a person deserves an einish for a chet, Torah protects him. Now, it's important to understand how this works. What does it mean that Torah protects you if you're supposed to get an oinish? So if you take a look at the Maral the Nesiv HaTorah, you'll see that he explains that Torah has the capacity to restore the proper equilibrium that a person is supposed to have. Refuah is one of the things that we find that Torah generates. The Maral brings down the Gemara that says, Chosh b'roishay yasik b'torah, chosh b'kol gufa yasik b'torah. And the Maral explains that the hesber in that is that any choyli is really a deviation from the way that things are supposed to be, the proper seder of things. Torah restores things to their proper seder. Since the panemius of the Hanhaga of the entire Bria is the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mistakel by Raisa Ubara Alma, he created the world based on looking into the Torah. So if one finds a situation in which things are not running according to the proper Seder, the way to rectify things is Al Yedei the Torah. Now, very often we find that an Oynish that Klal Yisrael is supposed to have comes because things are moved over to a specific extreme. For example, one of the introductions mentioned in our Gemara to the Megillah is Hirkavta Enoish L'Rishenu Bono Ve'esh Uvamayim Ba'esh B'mei Nebuchadnezzar HaRasha Uvamayim B'mei Parai V'Tetzienu L'Rvaya B'mei Haman. What this means, says the Maral, is that in Nebuchadnezzar's time, things were brought to an unhealthy extreme based on the Yesoid HaEsh. The world is created, says the Rambam, from four Yesoidis: Afar, Esh, Ruach, and Mayim. Esh is a certain midah that was operative during the time of Nebuchadnezzar, and you always find that Esh goes along with Avodah Zarah. Part of the reason for this is because Esh always is looking to go upward. It has to do with the tshuka that the Bria has to reach to something higher, which is what gives birth to the Yetzihara for Avodah Zarah. And that's why you find in the parsha of Avodah Zarah the idea being Maver Benoyu Bitei Ba'esh, and Nebuchadnezzar, who burned the Beis HaMikdash Ba'esh, and forced Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah to jump into the Kivshana Esh, stood for this Yetzihara, Adam El Elyon. That's a lashon that Nebuchadnezzar himself used. Mayim, on the other hand, symbolizes the Yetzihara of Taiva. Mayim is called, says the Maral, Choymer Belit Tzura. It takes the shape of its container. It's pure matter without having its own shape. And that is the idea of Chomrius. Bimei Paroi, they were subject to the Klip of Mitzrayim, which is Arayas. And, says the Maral, Yisrael is from the Lashon of Yosher. Yisrael has the perfect balance. We find that during Golos Mitzrayim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Megala himself to Moshe Rabbeinu, since Mitzrayim was the Klipa of Arayas, so the Geula came about through HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealing himself in a sneh, a burning bush. Because to offset the Yisoid HaMayim, you need to have the Yisoid HaEsh. Similarly, in order to offset the klipa of Nebuchadnezzar, what was necessary was the Yisoid HaMayim. Torah is nimshal to both. It's nimshal to Eish and it's nimshal to Mayim. When Hashem revealed himself by the Sneh, he revealed himself as the Noisin HaTorah. It says over there, Tavdanus Elokim Al Hahar Hazeh. What he was saying was that Torah has the ability, through the fire of Torah, to offset the Yetzihara of Taiva. At the same time, when there's a Yetzihara for Avodah Zarah, you can offset that with the Mayim of Torah. Torah is Nimshal Mayim as well. So the reason why Klal Yisrael were not punished during the days of Nebuchadnezzar, although they were Mishtachvel Letzelem, is because the Torah held back the Yisoid HaEish from operating entirely. When it came, the days of Haman, and it says in our Gemara that they were Nisatzlu from being Oisik B'Torah, then it was already Nisoirer, what was supposed to happen already at the time of Nebuchadnezzar. And now we can understand the metaphor that our Gemara uses. Because what is it that causes a pot to get black on the bottom? It's a well-known fact that when you have Eish underneath the pot and there is no Mayim inside the pot, that's when it turns black on the bottom. So the reason why it says Shehushkru Paneim Shel Sani Yisrael Keshulei Kedera during the time of Achashverosh is because there was Eish that from the time of Nebuchadnezzar had been balanced by Mayim, which is Torah. And since they were Nisatzlu Medivrei Torah at the time of Achashverosh, they remained without what caused the balance up until that point from the Yisoid HaEish that was in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. So in the time of Achashverosh, it was Hushchru Paneim Keshulei Kedera. One of the openings of the Megillah that's listed in our Gemara is Rav Masna. Rav Masna Amar Mehacha Kimi Goy Godol Asher Loi Elokim Korevim Elov. Who is a great nation like Klal Yisrael that Hashem is so close to them? And the end of the pasuk, of course, is Hashem Aleikenu B'chol Kareinu Elov. And Hashem is close to us, as we see from the fact that whenever we call out to Him, He listens. Now, it would seem that the Rambam paskins like Rav Masna, because in the Sefer HaMitzvahs LaRambam, after the Rambam is finished being moina all the Tafresh Yud Gimel Mitzvahs, the Rambam finishes off by saying, Eloheim Taryag Mitzvah Shenemer Loi L'Moshe B'Sinai Hein U'Kholiseinu Pratisein V'Tukdukehem. And after that, the Rambam introduces a category of mitzvahs, which are not d'oraisa. He says, "Yes, mitzvahs acheres shenischad shu achar matan Torah." There were other mitzvahs that were nischadish after matan Torah. V'kavu oisam neviim v'chachomim upashtu b'kol Yisrael kigoin mikra megillah ner Chanukah, etc. And he explains how those mitzvahs we have to keep, like it says, loisaser min hadavar. You have to listen to dinim that chachomim introduce. And the Rambam goes to explain what the difference between a hisafa, being over the iser of lo yisei sifu, and a introduction of a new din that Rachamim are allowed to do. And the main difference, the Rambam says, is shalai amru shakarish baruchu tziva lasis erev alikras megillah ba'inosa. It's not as if the Rabbana came along and said that Hashem said that you have to lay the Megillah. The Rachamim said that you have to lay the Megillah. If they would have said that it was Hashem who told us to lay the Megillah, then that would be called being moisif ala Torah. Elakach onu aimrim shanaviim im bezden tiknum. Vitzivu likris hamegillah ba'ainasa kidei lahazkir shvachav shalakarish baruchu utishuais sha'asalanu. They commanded us to read the Megillah in its time in order to be mazkir the shvachav shalakarish baruchu, the praise of Hashem, utishuais, and the deliverance, the salvation that Hashem did for us, v'ahaya karoiv l'shavaseinu, and He was close to our shava, to our crying. He listened to us kidei levarchoi ulahalaloi uk to praise Hashem, to thank Him, and to let known to the coming generations that which the Torah promised us is true. What was it that the Torah promised us? He says, "Umi goy gadol asher loy elokim v'goymer." The pasuk that we learn in our Gemara, that there is no greater nation than Klal Yisrael, asher loy elokim krovim elov, that they have Hashem close to them, Hashem elokeinu b'chol kareinu elov. And this is actually something that we say in the Nusach of Shoshanas Yaakov. We say, Lohidia, Shekol Kaivecha, Lo Yevoishuv, Lo Yikomu Lenetzach, Kol HaChoysimboch. So the message of Mikra Megillah is that when Klal Yisrael calls out to Hashem, He'll save them from their tzaras. One of the topics discussed in our Gemara is the fact that Achashverosh ruled over 127 Medinas. There's a famous Medrash Rabbah in the beginning of Parshas Chayisara, Rabbi Kiva HaYayoshi V'Doirish. He was sitting and darshaning in front of his talmidim. Va'atzibur misnamnim. He saw that his talmidim started to doze off. Bikesh lo'irun. He wanted to wake them up. Amar, he said, Ma'rasa Esther. What was it that Esther saw? She'timloich al kuf chav zayin medina. That she decided to rule over 127 medinas. Ella, tovay Esther. She'hoisa bas bita shel sarah.
let Esther come. She was the granddaughter of Sarah Shechoysa, Kuf Chav Zayin Shana, v'simleich al Kuf Chav Zayin Medinos. Sarah Imenu lived 127 years, and so Esther, who was her offspring, should come and rule over to 127 Medinas. And obviously, it is very difficult to understand the connection between the two. Even though Rabbi Kiva was using it to wake his Talmidim up, there has to be some sort of connection between these two inyanim. So many answers have been given to this question. Let's offer the following. If you take a look at Rashi over there in the beginning of Chayisara, Rashi says, L'kach nichtav shana b'chol klal uchlal, the reason why it says, Me'a shana v'esrim shana v'sheva shanim, is lemelach, shekol echad nidrish la'atzmai, bas kuf kibas chof l'chet, Ma bas chav leichata, just like when she was 20, she was without chet. Shari'ena bas einshin af bas kuf kebaloichet. Also, when she was 100, she was without chet. Bas chav kebas zayin leyoyfi. Shnei chayei sara kulan shavin letoiva. All her years were equal letoiva. Now, what exactly does this mean? It can't mean that Sara Imenu was never, throughout her entire life, nichshel in chet, because we know the Gemara says that there were only four people that were meis be'et yishal nachash, four people that were never choyte, and Sarah Imenu was not one of them. So what do we mean when we say kulon shavin l'toiva? So it would seem that the Chazal are being megala to us a very important yisoid about Sarah Imenu, and it's in general a very important yisoid in Avodas Hashem. And that is as follows. There is a certain klipa, a certain negative force in the Bria, which, according to the Yalkut in Parshas Bishalach, is one of the aspects of Amalek. And that is, like the Gemara says in Brachas, Daf Samach Aleph Amar Aleph, Amar Rav Yetzahara Doimet Lizvuv. The Yetzahara is similar to a fly. The Yalkut says over there in Parshas Bishalach that Amalek Doimet Lizvuv. Amalek is similar to a fly. The reason that Amalek is similar to a fly is because Shehu Lohut Achar HaMaka. Whenever a person has a maka, some sort of petza, a bruise, the fly likes to come if it sees blood. If there's lichluch, the fly will be attracted to it. And by Amalek we find that they're attracted to those that have fallen. Kol HaNechshalin Acharecha. It says that the ones that was poltan anani akavid, the people that were, because of their sins, were spit out from inside the anani akavid, Amalek were capable of fighting against them. And that's why the Balaturim, when it talks about Amalek in the Pasuk over there, it says, Ksoiv zois zikarin basefer v'sim ba'azni Yeshua, the Balaturim says that the words zikarin basefer v'sim ba'azni are Rashi Tevis zvuv. Because Zvuv will leave the rest of the parts of the body and just go to that place where there is some sort of lichluch, some sort of dirt or blood, and be malakik. And as a matter of fact, the word amalek, it says in the Sfarim, comes from a lashon to be malakik, to lap up. Now the Gemara over there in Brachas, when it compares the Yetzirah to the Zvuv, it brings a pasuk in Kehela, Zvuvei maves yavish yabi Hashem rekech. And the Kli Yoker on that pasuk explains that the idea of the Zvuv is to look at everything ba'ayin ra, to find the bad in everything. Now the Avos were mezgaber over this midah called Zvuv, which is why we find Vavram Visara Zikanim Boim Bayomim is Rosh Hatevis Zvuv. The words Vavram Zakein Ba Bayom also are Rosh Hatevis Zvuv, because they were misgaber over this midah. Even if they had nefilas, like we said, other me'in tzadik ba'aretz asher yasatov la'yechta. They were human. It wasn't possible for them to always be perfect. The difference between them and others was the fact that kulon shavin l'toiva, which means that their aliyas and their yiridas, their good days and their bad days, everything was used l'toiva. They were able to grow from all their experiences. The opposite of the Zvuv. The Zvuv sees a little bit and gets you down, because the Yetzer Hara, who the Zvuv is doimed to, tries to define the person based on his nefilas. And those that are misgaber over the klip of Zvuv live the opposite. They understand that even when something does happen, it's there in order for the person to grow. So that's what kulon shavin l'toiva means. And that is the parallel that Rabbi Kiva was drawing between Esther and Sarah. Sarah lived 127 years, which is meramis to the inyan of kulon shavin l'toiva, as Rashi darshins over there. And since Esther came from Sarah, she was capable of fighting Amalek and ultimately ruling over the 127 medinas b'mei Achashverosh. The Gemara mentions Tana Rabbanan Shloisha Molchu Bekipa. There were three people that ruled over all of civilization. Ve'elu hein Achav v'Achashverush u'Nebuchadnezzar. In the Sefer Ben Yehoyada, he asks, what's the point of this Gemara? What is the Gemara trying to teach us? Whatever happened already happened. It's not like it has any bearing on our lives now. If these people would have been tzaddikim, then we can understand that the Torah wants to explain to us the covet that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives La'isei Ritzoinoi. But Achav was an Oved Avodah Zarah, like it says in the Psukim in Malachim. Nebuchadnezzar and Achashverosh were Rishoyim Gemurim. So these weren't tzaddikim. So what exactly does the Gemara want to teach us? Says the Ben Yayada that Chazal want to teach us the schar that these three people had for certain good things that they did. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Beis Amud Beis says, "Mepnei ma zocha Achav l'malchus eser mushtayim shana." Why was Achav zoicha to malchus for 22 years? Mepnei shekibed es haTorah shenitna beeser mushtayim oisius, because he would mechabed the Torah which was given with 22 oisius. The Gemara over there brings the psukim showing that Achav was unwilling to give up the Sefer Torah because he didn't want to be mezalzel in the Sefer Torah. Ben-Hadad, Melech Aram, wanted Kaspe Vizov, Noshev, Banav HaToivim, and Achav was prepared to give them to him. But it says, Machbarei Necha, the Sefer Torah, he wasn't willing to give. So the fact that it was Moiser Nefesh, the Gol Molchama, because of the Kavod HaToira, therefore he was Zoicha to be Moilech Bekipa. Lugabe Nebuchadnezzar, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Tzadik Vav Med Aleph, explains that Baladan, the Melech Bavel, sent a letter to Chizkiyahu, and in the letter, he addresses Chizkiyahu before Hashem, before Eloka Rabba. And the Shliach went and took the letter. Nebuchadnezzar, who was the Sofer HaMelech, but he wasn't there when it was written, and he heard how they were makdim, the king, to Hashem, he ran after the Shliach and made him change the letter. Now, even though he only ran 4 steps, but because of these 4 steps, he was Zoicha to be Melech Bekipa. So these two, the Gemara wants to teach us that because of the special deeds that they did, they were Zoich Dimoyach Bekipa. Achashverosh, says the Ben Yayada, the Gemara wants to teach us the greatness of the Zchus of being Dovak to Tzadikim. Because the only reason why Achashverosh was Zoich to this coven was Bezchus that the Asid, he was going to be Dovak to Esther. And he brings down the Medrash that we mentioned earlier from Parshas Chayisara, the Marasa Esther Shetimlech Al Sheva Esther Mumeya Medina, is because she was the Basbita Shel Sarah. So you see that the fact that Achashverosh ruled over 127 Medinas was only a product of the fact that Esther ruled over 127 Medinas, meaning that his rule was only a result of the fact that he was later going to be Dovak to Esther, and Esther was meant to rule over these 127 Medinas because she was Basbita Shel Sara Imenu. Rabbi Yochanan is one of the Amiroim that brings a Pesach for the Megillah that's listed in our Gemara, and he says as follows. He says, Zachar chaste v'amunose ro'u chalafsi aretz es Yeshua Selekenu Ema say ro'u kol afsi aretz es Yeshua Selekenu. When was it that everybody in the world saw Yeshua Selekenu? We may Mordechai v'Esther. In the Sefer Me'ashiloyach, he says a pshat in the Pasuk in Tillim, in Perek Ayin Zayin, Ata hakel oisei pele, ohidata ba'amim uzecha, and he explains that all the nisim that Hashem does for Klal Yisrael, like Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsef, all the Mochamis, things that are shaloi kederech hateva, those things are called pele. Pele means that it's a wonder. It makes no sense, it's a deviation from the Sidrei Hateva. And he explains that because of this, you cannot use the Lashon Re'iyah. Re'iyah is sight when discussing these Nisim. Because after the Nes is over, the world remains the same place. It's not as if once the Nes is finished, one can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhaga. You can only remember or hear about the fact that Hashem did the Nes. Lashon Shmua is Shaykh with these Nisim. Re'iyah is something that you see in front of your eyes. Shmua is something that you hear over about something that was done. So all that really remains from Nisim that leave Teva is the Shmiah. The Shmiah says, Naim, that which our ears hear. We hear now that there was a Pella then. However, the Nes that was done, Bimei Mordechai ve'Esther, that Nes, in a sense, was greater. Because it showed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the Teva itself. And everything that he does in the Bria is really L'Tovus Yisrael. because the neis b'mei Mordechai v'Esther seemed to have been kederech hateva. And that's why, with regards to the neis that happened b'mei Mordechai v'Esther, you could use the lashon of ro'u kol afsi aretz, es yeshuas alekeinu. Because this neis is shayach to the inyan of re'iya. After the neis is done, then one can look into the bria and see that Hashem is the one who's running the bria. This is probably the pshat in the Gemara in the third parak in Yuma as well. The Gemara says, Lamnatseach al Ayelas HaShachar, referring to Esther, that she is doimet to Ayelas HaShachar. The Gemara explains that just like the Shachar is the end of the Laila, so too Esther is the end of all the Nisim. And the question is asked, why would you compare Esther to the end of the night? It sounds like you're saying that Nisim are doimet to the night, and therefore Esther with Soif Kol HaNisim is the end of the night. Why are Nisim like the night? If anything, you would think that Nisim is when Hashem is Megala himself, it's like the day. The answer is, like the Me'a Shiloich is saying, that the Nisim do not light up the world. They don't give you the chance to see things better. They give you the ability to hear over the fact that Hashem did things that were great. But when you now look into the Bria, you see darkness. Esther is Soif Kol HaNisim because it brought an end to that night. Because now we could look in the Bria b'mizboinen and see Hashem's Hanhaga even in the Teva.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a daf or masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.